Chapter 15, Section 2, A Convenient Time. There are those who, after reading the Bible and understanding what it has to say, decide to take a risk. They decide not to believe it. They choose to ignore its message, reject it outright, get busy with life and thereby forget it. Or they change its message, and they all hope that the Bible is wrong. Herod Agrippa took such a risk. As the grandson of Herod the Great and first cousin of Herod Antipas, he must have been privy to the gossip about Jesus in the royal household. No doubt, spies had reported every word the prophet from Nazareth spoke. But Herod had status. He was an important man. Rather than humble himself before the King of Kings, he, like the people of Noah's day, continued to live his life for himself. He even gained an element of popularity by beheading one of Jesus' disciples. But then,
on the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not a man!" Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. Acts 12:21-23.
God in his grace will tolerate sin for a while, but then in his justice he will judge it. Judgment may come in this life, or it may be withheld until after death, but it will happen. Herod died and faced an eternity in the lake of fire. The next verse is noteworthy.
But the word of God continued to increase and spread. Acts 12:24.
I would encourage you to not casually ignore the Bible's message or become too busy to properly investigate it. You may not die as Herod died, but you will die. It would be a tragedy not to have taken the time to really discover all you needed to know about death and life. Another contemporary of Jesus was Herod Agrippa II. As the great-grandson of Herod the Great and son of Herod Agrippa, he would also have known about Jesus. The Bible says King Agrippa was well-versed in all the things concerning Jesus. The Apostle Paul was arrested and testified before him. In his defense before Agrippa, Paul told him about Jesus. He said,
"For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." One who belongs to Christ. Acts 26:26-28, New King James Version.
King Agrippa seemed to understand Paul quite well, so much so that he even admitted that Paul almost persuaded him to believe. But Agrippa took the risk. He didn't believe. He sidestepped the question in an effort to avoid making a decision. You must realize that it is not enough to understand the facts with the mind. You must also exercise faith from the heart. Using the analogy of the drowning man, you must do more than intellectually acknowledge that a lifeguard can save you. If you are fighting off the lifeguard, or if you are turning away from the life-saving hand he is holding out to you, you will drown. You must grasp his hand with your hand and allow him to take you to safety. The Israelites, who had been bitten by the poisonous snakes, could have given intellectual assent to the fact that God was capable of saving them, but it was only when they actually looked that they experienced the reality of that fact. That look demonstrated faith. Faith in God's word and God's ability to save them. You must also make a decision to believe. Decide for yourself to trust in what Jesus did on the cross. As far as we know, Agrippa never did believe. He went to his grave understanding, but not believing. He went to spend eternity in the lake of fire. It was his choice. Paul also defended himself before a Roman governor named Felix. Paul always took these opportunities to give a lengthy explanation of who Jesus was and what he had done.
Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." Acts 24:24-25.
Felix put off his decision. He wanted to wait for a more convenient time. It's easy to do that, but the Bible reminds us that now is the time to decide.
Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2, New King James Version.
We never know what the future holds or how quickly our lives can be taken. We need to decide now. Of course, Felix was afraid, and sometimes we become fearful too. We wonder what others may think. It really doesn't matter. What does matter is what God thinks. Neither biblical nor secular history records what happened to Felix, but to the best of our knowledge, he never did find a convenient time to believe. Felix also had other hopes.
He was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for him frequently and talked with him. Acts 24:26.
Felix had ulterior motives. His professed interest in Jesus was distorted by a desire for monetary gain. Nevertheless, he did speak often with Paul about Jesus. Many could have interpreted these conversations as Felix having gotten religion. Some people are like Felix. They talk a lot about the Bible, but then they use the Bible's message for their own profit. Most people recognize the inconsistency, but some are deceived. That is why some claim they will never believe the Bible, because of such hypocrites. But hey, wait a minute. Did the Bible's message change? No, not one bit. It still says the same thing, no matter how people distort it for their own ends. If you are one who would be tempted to reject the Bible because of guys like Felix, then think again. If you find yourself vacillating, not understanding, or just outright rejecting, then might I suggest that you investigate the Bible a little more before you close the case. Take some time to read more of the Bible for yourself. As we said at the beginning, the Bible does have a lot to say about life and death. Don't stop your investigation now. Your life and your life after death is at stake.